Appreciate people coming out tonight. Appreciate them every night. To me, it is a wonderful treat to be in the presence of God and to speak to God's people. I guess I feel pretty much like every minister. Ministers are pretty much the same. Paul said to begin with, I feel least than the least. I feel like I'm nothing in the presence of God and His people. And then I'm reminded of what Solomon said one time when he said, who can speak to so great a people? I thought, Lord, what do you mean, who can speak to so great a people? People are just people, you know. Preaching around the world, you think, well, people are people, until you really come to understand. And then I heard the Lord speak to me, and He said, my people are God's. You know, a lot of people can't digest that. They can't get a hold of that. But He said, my people are God's. That's why they're so great a people. Who is worthy to speak to my people? I thought, well, my God, I never thought about that like that. And then He said, they are bone of my bone, and they are flesh of my flesh. And said, whatever is done to them is done to me. And whatever you fail to do to them, you fail to do to me. Who can speak to this, my great and mighty people? And then as I said the other night, that so frequently I say this, the Lord began to speak to me on a real common level. And He spoke to me like this, that when animals reproduce, they reproduce animals. Even though we don't like to admit it, they've proven that man is animal. And he actually is among the animals. And Paul, he can confirm that by saying, at Ephesus, I fought with beast. And then they went on to say, beast, and some of them brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. And when you realize that man is but an animal, he reproduces as an animal. And then you're reminded that each animal reproduces after its kind. So then man reproduces after his kind. Everything reproduces after its kind. And we find that the nature of a thing is what causes the image and causes the conformity. See, whatever the nature is, that's what causes the conformity. So many varieties as to shapes and forms and fashions, forms of life that's in the world today. See, but all of them are after their kind. Everything reproduces after its kind. And so it is the act of God. All things for Him and by Him. The Bible said, and there was nothing made except that He made it, or that it was made for Him. So we know in the world today that there are many, many things in the world of vegetation, in the world of human physics, and we know that in the world of spirit, there is a spiritual world, that there are great mysteries that's to understand in all three realms. And we know that the world of water, as to the world of vegetation, has seen a great thing as to the past history of the 2,000 years that came before the flood. And yet, the flood was the water that lifted the ark. And it would seem like there wouldn't be anything as to the water world, but it was. And then there's 2,000 years following, and it is a blood world. And we would think, well, that would move forward, Brother Pike, over here when Jesus died. But it didn't. And then the next 2,000 years, we're almost at the end of it now, which is the spirit world. See, and someone would say, well, certainly not the spirit world, Brother Pike. We're waiting on that. No, it's just because you've got things out of balance. And then we know that even as in school, there's a first power, there's a second power, there's a third power. And we know that even in the field of science, that when you run a thing, one, two, three, you have to go to the third power before you get the power. Though you've got the power, potentially speaking, the potentiality is there. But as to the released energy of power, you have to go to the third power. See, and this is where the church gets off course and where they misunderstand. Somebody says, well, what about the nature? We'll get to it. Just hold on a minute. See, and this is where we get boggled down in our minds. Somebody says, I've served God all my life. What do I have to show for it? Or they say, look at the generations. All things remain the same as when the father fell asleep. There is no change. See, and then they get into a make-believe, and they get into a state of mind where they feel like that all of their efforts have been in vain. See, but where the problem is we haven't been patient enough. We have to wait. The Bible says, having done the will of God, we have need of patience that afterward we should receive the promise. Being patient, after a while we become complete in God through the trials and problems, and we become complete in God. The Bible said we are made complete in Christ, or we are complete in Christ, and we're made complete in the Lord. See, and we're settled, and then we become filled with the Spirit or the knowledge of God, or skillful as to the things that God would have us to have. Well, anyway, God has ordained this. All things was ordained by God. It was ordained just like the nature. And you can't change it. There's no way you can change it. You know, if the leopard has the power to change his spots, and the Ethiopian has the power to change his skin, then ye that are accustomed to do evil can do good. See, and this is the thing that we're concerned about. Is who are we? Where are we? What are we? See, we are reproducing after our image. Every seed is reproducing after its kind. And it's because of a nature. And that's why we are reproducing after our kind. Multiply, replenish the earth. See, but we have to wait until our season. If the seed is sown in the field, if the seed is sown in the womb, wherever the seed is sowed, we have to be patient until the time of the coming of the child or whatever it might be as to whatever the seed is planted. At an early stage of planting, having planted when I was a boy, raised up some on the farm, at the early stages of the planting, a lot of work to be done, clearing the new ground, burning up the brush, whole lot of work. But when the ground, as I heard David saying here, is pulverized, then we're ready for the seed. But when the seed is sown, it isn't going to immediately come up. You know, like the Bible speaks of giving unto the Lord. Giving unto the Lord. As you sow, so you reap. You give unto the Lord, and you get it back. But you don't get it back right away. If I invested in the Lord, we would say $25. And then tomorrow I'd say, well, where's my return? And then it didn't come. You know, if I was carnal minded, I would be all tore up. I'd say, well, where's my $25? God promised to give it back to me in debt, like as to be putting out to usury, which God doesn't approve of, but as to us in the symbolics. I want my $25 back, but I don't get it back tomorrow. Then it goes on for a month, and I don't get it back, and then after a while, it might be 2 years. And then I think, well, God, he's never going to give it back to me. But see, the Lord does that to hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, to make it revelation unto babes, those that are willing to learn. The meat belongs to the strong. They, by reasoning, exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. But then after many days, it returns to me. If it was a matter of putting in $100 as an investment, get it back tomorrow, everybody in town, everybody in the neighborhood, everybody that could come in here, they'd invest. They'd say, hey, boy, put in 10, you can get out 20. But see, it's so long before the return, they think, well, these people are slap out of their mind. They don't know what they're doing. Then one day you ride by in a fine automobile, or you've got a home, or you got whatever the blessings is, and somebody said, well, where did that lame brain get that? You know. See, but nevertheless, God is not forgetful of your labor in the Lord, in that you have ministered to the saints, if you're continuing to minister to the saints. And then I said, and this is hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent, but revealed to babes. The reproduction of the seed comes, and then the replenishing of the earth. At its time and season, everything in its time and season. People say, well, why don't the rapture come? When is it coming? What is this about the rapture, I say so often? Where did you ever read anything in the Bible about the rapture? See, why isn't it coming? Why hasn't it come? Because there never was anything in the Bible ever said about to start with. So then that's again that we're off track. And because we're off track, we're looking for something outside of the Word. While we're looking for something that God hasn't even spoken of because of intellectual applications and getting off trail, others are patiently working and patiently sowing and patiently, from glory to glory, transforming on the inside for that new birth, that they might reach a place of diplomacy as to come to the ultimatum of what God is doing, that light may swallow up darkness, and this indwelling treasure that God has placed in heavenly vessels might be made manifest in their mortal genes. So they're patiently waiting, but after they have done the work, that they might receive the promise. Others are going one way or other. They're not doing anything. They're just going to the extreme, and they say, all I got to do is holler and praise God. It don't make no difference what I do. God loves me. I'm saved, whatever. And so some even goes far enough to preach predestination, and that is true. And then they expect to go to heaven. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter whether they live right. It doesn't matter what comes. They are still expecting to go to heaven. And you talk to them and you say, well, you shouldn't have done that, should you? Oh, yes, it doesn't matter about that. Like somebody said one time in Texas, said, God's going to save us in spite of ourselves. He's done revealed it to me. I said, well, there's one thing about it. God sent me with a word for you. But, you know, they just grin. I've been sent a number of times, and I've had them to grin and say, how do you know God didn't send me to you for a word? They told me that. I said, well, the way you can tell is when my word comes to pass and yours don't. And it came to pass every time. Great businessmen fell overnight and went down. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. I've seen some of them later that God had his hands on, and I spoke to him in the name of the Lord. A year or 2 years, 3 years, whatever would pass by, and the Lord would send me and Betty and send us to a town where maybe this particular individual was, and we'd go to them and say, the Lord has got a word for you. And they'd been broke down all the way to the bottom. I'm talking about businessmen, wealthy men, and they were ready to listen. And I've had him to tell me, you had to be brought down and whatever, but God has his hands on you. And now, he said, he's going to raise you back up. And just like that, up they come. See, the Lord puts down one. He takes up one. Kings reign by the Lord. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Can evil come to a city? And I've not seen it. I have my way in the good and the evil. So, I said that to say this. God reproduces after the kind. If God wants to reproduce, then what does he reproduce? You might go through the fire. You might be used of God in one way or another. Or it could be that the word of God comes to you and you may be put down from your lofty place. You may be put all the way down because God has to humble your heart so that you will reproduce after your kind. So you'll stay in your place. So you will abide in your calling. See? And it is true that if the reproduction is according to the nature or after its kind, then when God reproduces, it is after his kind. So we say then, brethren, what are we? What are we? Are we animals? Is science falsely so called? Are they correct? They are for their people. They are as to the natural and the vanities of life, but they are not when it comes to you and I. Why? Because everything is in reverse. The last shall be first. The first shall be last. The world and all that's in it is vanity. If the world and all that's in it is vanity, why is it that we all want to run after vanity? We want the new cars. We want the home. We want the fleshly passions. We want everything in the world. Ministers, I mean. People that are supposed to be Christians. And they're full speed ahead for these things. But then you say, well, what about these things? Solomon said, vanity, vanity. All is vanity. It's the lust of the eyes. It's the pride of life. And the world and the lust thereof shall pass away. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. Everything in the world is going to pass away. The stars is going to pass away. The heavens is going to pass away. Everything you are going to pass away. And there's only one that won't pass away, and that is those that do not dwell in the earth. For everything in the world and all therein shall utterly be destroyed and pass away. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, if that be the case, that means everything's hopeless. We all have to die. No, not Christians. Christians never die. See, and when you say pass away, Say, well, here we are on the earth just like all the rest. That means we have to pass away. No, that's wrong, because we are not in the earth. I'm not in the earth. If you're born again, you're not in the earth. God has chosen us out of the world, and He's hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And only that of you that is in the world is already dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus is planted in the soul, and it's out of the presence of God, and God never looks at it. You may powder the nose, and you may fix up the eyelashes and look like a lizard in the world, and you may project your physique, pump your muscles, and go through all the things of the world. You may make lots of money and get titles and diplomacies. Measure yourself by yourself, you're not wise. Having the honor of man, how can you have the honor of God? You seek the honor of man. You may get to be somewhat in the elite world, and you may try to mix the world with God's world, but it won't work. All you'll ever be, you'll be overtaken by the flesh. It'll go ahead a little further and a little further, till after a while, you'll just be put out altogether, and there won't be nothing left. But we are not in the world. The world will pass away, and all that is in the world will pass away. But we're dead to the world, and we're dead to sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a different people. We are of the spiritual world. In heaven, we are as angels. Someone would say, then, Brother Pike, when are we going to heaven? Like the little song says, you know, how far is heaven? When can I go? See, how far is heaven? When can you go? That's not what we're saying. How far is heaven and when can we go? When you're born again, you do go. Immediately the child is caught up to the throne from your very birth. Time you're born again, up to heaven you go. And the body is dead without the spirit, and the spirit is taken out. As I said before, the veil is rent in twain. And I say again, when we talk about the veil being rent in twain, see, what are we saying? We are talking about Jesus within His body. He made twain. Though the people that were natural-minded, even the Jews, they knew nothing but the natural temple. And when something was said about it, they thought that they were talking about the natural temple. They said, X amount of years it took for us to build this temple. And you say you'll destroy it and raise it up in 3 days? And they thought he was slap out of his mind or clear out of his reasoning. You know, but the Bible said they understood not that he spake of his body. For the body is the temple of the Lord. And the Bible said, he that believeth, to him God gave the power to become sons, or they. See, and that means that, as Peter said, we're sons of God. John said, already, beloved, we are sons of God. It does not yet appear, the writer said, as to what we are like, as to sight. But we are already sons of God. The veil of the temple was rent in twain. Which means if Jesus made in himself twain or two, both Lord and Christ, the rent veil as to separate the Lord from the Christ. And there it was, the spirit separated from the body, and the body being dead without the spirit, and then the plan of salvation was accomplished. Not to do that for him, but he did that for you. Coming in the form of a servant in his body, the children partakers as to the flesh and bone, he also partook of the same. See, now, if he rent the veil in twain, and it's rent in two, then where is each part of it? You know, I wish we had time to preach tonight. We wouldn't have time to do nothing but testify a little bit and just lay a little groundwork to get to a sermon. Like Paul, it took him all night to preach a sermon. But the thing is, where is the body? Where is the soul? Where is the spirit? What has happened to it? See, and where are we? Where are we? You know, where are we? Someone said, well, I'm sitting right here under the tent. Well, I'm not too sure that you are. And someone would say, well, what are you talking about? Paul said one time, though I be absent in body, I'm present in spirit. And then he said on another occasion, having been caught up to the third heaven, I'm not sure whether I was in my body or in my spirit. And as Peter said, as long as I, this Son of God, believed and I become a son of God. Not to believe and we're going to become a son of God in the sense that we have a long waiting. John said, now, beloved, you're the sons of God. You believed and you became a son of God. Like the law, we say a lot of times, trying to explain it. It won't pass away till every jot and tittle is fulfilled. Not the way that we look at it in the natural. That, folks, we might as well to try to fulfill the law. We might as well to stay with us this teaching, and we might as well let everybody know that this law is not going to pass away till every jot and tittle is fulfilled. See, it's just the reverse. When Jesus came, he fulfilled every jot and tittle. And he told the people that he was talking to, he said, pray, thy kingdom come. He knew he was fixing to go to Calvary, and that the kingdom of God, which is Christ within, was going to be unveiled, that he was the light of the world. And he proportionally was going to share his spirit and go away as to the bodily resurrection to be under at the right hand of the Father, and that we're complete in him through his works. All things are finished. And he knew he was going to fold up the law and lay the law away, and there wasn't going to be anything else to it. Stop and think just a little bit here now. If Jesus had not fulfilled the law, the kingdom could not have come. The law and the prophets of John, since that time the kingdom of God has come. And we preach that men should press their way into it. That is the spirit against the flesh, the fleshly desires. Some people have separated themselves from the spirit sensually. Or that is by their human senses as the desire of taste, smell, or that is the gullible desires of the flesh. And they separate themselves from the spirit, and all they have is a lot of commotion. All they have is a lot of fleshly exuberance. They are not in the spirit. They don't know nothing about the spirit. But see, if the veil is rent in twain, and if the spirit is in heaven, where does that put you? Where does that put me? See, where does that put the body? The body is dead because of sin. And it has the sentence of death in it, and that's why it has to die. And someone would say, well, where's the sentence of death? Like I said, we're just sporadically running along here because it would take hours and hours to fulfill or fill in the detail of these things that the Lord has filled in giving the revelation of Jesus Christ, which will translate the church. See, and so hard it is to preach one sermon. Though I've got a good audience, that's good listeners, and they really are hungry and they want to know. But it takes so long, the flesh gets weary. You know, much study causes weariness of the flesh. Or to listen, there's some here that would stay all night. Like today, we've ministered for hours to people today. Just about every day. 3, 4, 5 hours. And then when it's not camp meeting or whatever, night after night after night, numbers of hours continually. Maybe in 1 week, we might minister, I'd say 5, 10, 15, 25, 30, 50 hours in 1 week. Now, but the thing is, trying to stay away from just being sporadic or saying bits and pieces. Not what I try to do is say a little bit here and a little bit here and a little bit here, that when the Spirit of God comes, he can put it all together from point A to point B, 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, so that we can understand. And in doing that, it's hard to stay in the frame of mind as to a straight continuity or a continuation to get to the point that we want to get to. And we have people in such a way that they're on all kinds of levels. The spiritual things belong to them that have exercised their senses. Very few people in our day exercise their senses in spiritual things. They're not spiritual. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spiritual. And pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. One spirit, many operations. And we're so prone to want to do certain things, to be certain things, to reach certain levels in life. You know, even a scholar in the Bible, or go to college or seminary or whatever, we're so determined to do this that our nature causes us to go the wrong way. That's a reason for that. It's a reproduction after its kind. See, and we are reproducing after the image of God. So then we are gods. Gods begat gods. And here we are gods. And because we are gods, there's given unto us a revelation. There's given unto us another mind. Even the world of the spirit. See, and we try to get this over to the audience. In a revival, you can't hardly do that. You just preach repentance, preach laying on of hands, you preach healing, all these kind of things. And these signs follow them that believe. If you don't follow them, then that means they're not a believer. Somebody says, as I said last night, I'm a Christian. That doesn't mean that what you say. It didn't say just because you belong to a church, just because you fasted, just because you prayed. It meant they that believe. That is, they that actually believe what they say is going to happen or believe that that person is going to be healed, that happens to the believers. But getting back to the major theme of our thought here, we have gods sitting under the tent tonight. Are all of these gods sitting under here? I could guarantee they're not. There's beasts under here too. But nevertheless, while the blood is on the seat of atonement, then you have as much right as anybody else. You come into the presence of God as much as anybody else. Because the grace has to provide for everybody throughout the world to where they can come in that they're unlearned. God allows that. When they come to know the truth, He doesn't allow it anymore. They are cut out and will be cut out to where there'll be no healing medicines. As I say, the tribulation will come and all this brilliance of the world will fade away because it's nothing but a shadow or a reflection of that which is godly, or these great mighty gods that dwell right now in heaven. They are in heaven right now. They've already passed from death unto life. And besides that, they cannot even sin. And getting back on our thought here, see, it stands to reason that if they pass from death unto life, something has happened. And it stands to reason that if Jesus said, "Pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," that Jesus knew immediately the kingdom was coming because He was going to die and unveil it, rending the veil in twain. See, and seeing that He was going to do that, it means that He fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law. Then He took it, He folded it up, and He laid it away, that you and I would never be under the law again, and that righteousness would never consist of works again. Never. As to the keeping of ordinances, He took those and He nailed them to the cross, taking them out of the way, that there'd be no such thing as salvation anymore. As to the keeping of ordinances or tradition of the elders or the ritualistic of the world today, with all of their formalities, all of the exchange of conversation, education, supposing, believing, disputing, that's just corrupt minds. See, we believe unto righteousness with the heart. That is, we believe what Jesus did was sufficient. All together, nothing adding, nothing taken away. And we make confession from our heart, since we believe with the heart. We make confession unto salvation. I say this for the babes and the different ones that come along. See, we make a confession unto salvation. We don't work unto salvation. They said, "What must we do to work the works of God?" He said, "I'm the works of God. I'm the works of God. He that believeth on me." Paul, you've been in darkness. You've had the scales to fall from your eyes. And you know that the Jews are in bondage. And you know the veil that was over Moses' face. It's still there, as these people not being able to look steadfast at the end of that, which was abolished, though it was a light that was a veil between them and the glory, as to Moses' face. And that veil had to be rent at Calvary as to separate that body of death from that interspiritual eternal man, as to them that are born of spirit. And though we're down here in the world all together, and we all look alike, because the body has not yet been changed. See, but in the rending of the veil, we know that the law was fulfilled. We know the sentence of death was in the body, and the body had to die to free the spiritual man at death so the spirit could go back to God who gave it. And we know that Jesus, in rending the veil, rent this veil of you and I to separate your spirit from your body. And Peter confirms that by saying, "If this tabernacle be dissolved, I've got another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. I've borne the image of the earthy, as to Adam, of the dust, from the dust to the dust. And now, since it's been smitten at Calvary, there's a preordained hour of dissolving when the heavens shall be on fire and everything shall utterly melt. But I'm a son of God already on the inside. I've already passed from death unto life. I've already passed from death unto life. See, and I am dwelling in heaven. My spirit is translated into Christ's spirit." And as I say so often, to simplify what I'm trying to say into salvation, that my spirit, Christ was the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God, all things from Christ, by Christ. And now that the body is dead, the child is born through the travail of Calvary, as many things that we've said on tape and still have many things to say, though some are dull of hearing. See, we know the veil is rent in twain. The matrix as to the beast has been opened, or the Libyus. It has been opened, and the child has come forth, and the head has been born, and it's yonder at the right hand of the Father. And we know that the physicians of the world, as to the church age messengers, and these that are true physicians, are working with the woman, as to the church, in the hour of a travail and stress, while everybody's coming down to cause problems, the law, everybody finding fault, calling you everything but the right thing, and calling you something when that's what they are. You know, and never giving credit as unto the Lord Jesus. Having done unto you, they'll be charged with it in the day of judgment. When the books are open, when the book is open, even the Lord Jesus, the rent veil, and the Alpha and Omega, and what is contained in that book as through the church ages, through the rent veil, or as to the scrolls, sealed on the backside, and then the seal loosed, and the seal loosed, and the seal loosed unto the seven, as unto the Jews, because as a parchment, that's what they understand when they come in, because they've been blinded up to that point. Hope you can stay with me skipping about here, because it calls for so much in detail that I couldn't even get started hardly with it. So I'm still just moving around. I'll put it all together. It's enough to where you can understand that when you get into the Bible, you go into these things, the Spirit of God will bring all these things to remembrance and then fit it in detail. See, and when that book is open, everyone who is not written as with that blood, he's not in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then when the books are open, as to the books, you being an epistle known and read of all men, and when that book is open, because it was the rent veil of opening your book, and when they stand there to judge the world, for the saints shall judge the world, according to the things that's written in your book, where scientists say you never forget anything, it's always back there in the memory bank. And when that book is open, then as to what they did to you or did not do to you, then that will judge the world. Saints shall judge the world. The government shall be upon his shoulders as the members of that body. And so then through the stress, we go down through the church ages, and the physicians are working to bring that child down to what the Bible speaks of as the 10 toes, which is symbolic in the earth to show what's going on as to that in the heavenly world. As in heaven, so in earth. There's the light. There's the object. The light strikes it, and here's the shadow. See, and the shadow must pass away with the brightness of the coming of the Lord. As that day star dawns over the horizon out here in the world, so goes the shadows. And the creatures of night fade out. They're gone. And as the day star dawns within you in the spiritual world, Christ within you, the hope of glory, the shadows of your intellectual reasoning that come through the sentence of death when the Lord said, thou shalt surely die as to the sentence of the body unto death. Thou shalt surely die. And Jesus coming in the form of Adam, then he died, of which we have many, many things to say. So Jesus folded up the law for us. He laid it away. We are not under the law. We're not under the law at all. Then where are we at? We are under the grace. And anybody having failed from grace is under the law. And you'll be judged according to the law. But we that dwell in heaven, we are not under the law. There is no such thing as a law over you. You are free from the law. And this is why Paul used the terms that I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death. How wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? That this creature is to blame. The beast is to blame. Satan getting into Adam and Eve as the beast and the generation of vipers that he's put on their belly. See, and the old serpent on his belly as to Jacob thy worm. See, and because of this, they're on their belly. They eat, they drink, they laugh, they go. And all of their labor is for their belly and their mouth because it craves them of them. And they come to judge us. And they say things about us. And like I say again, as the reporter came the other day, 11 Alive, I always wanting interviews and papers, college papers, all kind of newspapers, all the time. See, they're right after us, like Bush that was after him the other day and would have trapped him if he'd opened his mouth. They're like a snake in the grass, even though there are quite a number of them that treat you right and give good writing. But anyway, she was sitting there, and she said, would you tell me what a cult is? She said, I don't know. And then I told her some things she didn't expect for me to tell her concerning her. But nevertheless, I had her praying before she got away, as I told you before. But this woman come, I talked with her. I made her to understand. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what does it sound like to you? What does it look like to you? People that are in the colleges that they're now calling houses of prostitution. And I say again, like Martin Luther said, I'm afraid that your educational system along with your schools is going to become the gates to hell at the way you're going unless you can get God in. And they certainly have, the old tree of knowledge. And it's ravishing. It's running. 17, 12 to 17, 98% of all the girls have lost their virtue. Now, I said, does it make any sense to you that some little old college student over here from out of college, some that don't know their right hand from their left, and that they're producing nothing but freaks unless God's in it, running around like a bunch of insane people, dressing anyway, people like that that they used to put in a mental institution. I can remember. Some little schoolgirl comes out here, or somebody that lives over the hill, some little old reporter that works for a few dollars that don't know what's up and what's down, just looking for some sensation, like the reporter, I remind you again, the sports reporter that coming out to cover our crusade in India, and the leading sports reporter, and he said, Brother Pike, he got under conviction. He'd given his heart to God. He said the newspapers ain't after nothing but sensation, something to make some money out of. They don't publish the news anymore. They don't care about that anymore. See, all they want is a dollar. And they're carnal-minded and taken into captivity at the will of the devil. And anything that's godly, they demote it, as we say. If anything is of the world loves its own. They promote it. See, and they lift it up. I said, does it make any sense to you that somebody like that would come up, talk about a child of God, talk about the work of God, talk about Almighty God, talk about the things of God, and people that are of a good understanding that God has made great and mighty, and these people ain't nothing but little old children in their diapers and whatever, as I express these things, and come out here and they're going to do some kind of a story, and they're going to do some kind of documentary. They don't have enough understanding to do a documentary as to whether they're sane or insane. How are they going to do anything concerning God? It's like a little boy that's about 15 years old, and you take him out there to a full-fledged mechanic. That's a professional in his work. And he says, I've come over. I'm 15 years old. You've been at this work 30 years, but I'm going to do a documentary. I'm going to see what you're doing and see if you know what you're doing. Isn't that stupid? Somebody say amen. How much more stupid is it for people to try to do a survey on God's people? Why, you don't even know where they're at. You can't even find them. They dwell in heaven and you can't even get up there. Jesus said to Nicodemus, said, who is he that has ascended up to heaven and come down from heaven but the Son of God, as we say? No man's ever done it, he said. And then he looked at him and said, and who is in heaven? I'm sure Nicodemus must have been mixed up. He said, you are a ruler of the Jews and you don't know these things. If I talk to you about earthly things and you don't understand them, how will you ever understand anything that is spiritual? And this is what's wrong with the world today. The world wants a congregation. The world wants an offering. The world wants to be on television. I'm talking about the church world. On television, and they want to do all these kind of things. But if you notice, we predicted that those stars would fall from heaven, that they're nothing but nickel and rock. They're just, all they are is reflectors. Aren't they falling? The television artists, look at them going down. See why? Because their work of reflection in the dark night of this thing that has harassed the people is about over. And God doesn't need this light reflected anymore, because the true day star itself is coming out as to the sunlight of the mighty body of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiled, and bringing in another world. Now, I know many of you don't understand, especially in this sporadic talk. I know that. See, I understand that. But you are sincere. Your spirit comes in that you're very sincere. And you want to see what I'm talking about. Some for criticism. Some to know the truth. They come for all kind of purposes. Some's minds are made up when they come. They're coming to look for fault. See, whereas I don't feel discrepancies as coming from you. You're sincere. But still they're with us. Wherever the sons of God gather together, then the sons of Satan also, even the reflectors, everybody from their first birth is a reflector. But as to the new birth inwardly, as those that go on to God, that body will be changed. Give me a few more minutes now, because we've put out so much tonight that it would take volumes of books just on what we've already put out if we detailed it. Well, the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries. And you know, folks, I've said this so many times, I didn't know there was a revelation of Jesus Christ. I read about the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Paul casually mentioned it. But I didn't know there was such a thing as that. I really didn't. I'd fasted, I'd prayed. I'd spent hours in reading my Bible. As I've said, the New Testament, I've read it through on my knees, and I've read the Bible many, many times. You know? And I still didn't know it. Preached all over the nation. I still didn't know it. Until one day God spoke to me and said, I want to tell you something. I want to show you something. And it was the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, and I take time to elaborate on that, but we don't have time tonight. I appreciate your interest. I appreciate your listening. So then, let's pick up right here. We kind of got off trail to say something there concerning the news reporter of just how ignorant people are. They want to do a survey, you know, on something they can't even see. The Bible said their eyes don't even come open, that they've never seen or never will see, and that this is higher above their understanding, their college degrees, than the heavens is the earth. They don't even know anything about this. And though this light shines in the midst of this intellectual darkness, they never comprehend it. For the Bible said, "In great light has sprung up unto them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death," and said, "This light shined in darkness as to their intellectual diplomacies, but they did not comprehend it." But we do comprehend the heights, the width, the depths, the length, because we are children of light. See, Jesus declared God, and we comprehend it, even down through the church ages. So let us say then that the world is about to pass away. Someone would say, "Well, I don't know about that, Brother Pike." Well, look at your calendar. Even your calendar, it's been in stride down through the years. When it struck 2000, what happened? As to man's understanding, there came the flood, and a great phenomenal thing as to a disaster took place. And then 2,000 more years, and Peter said, "You're the people upon whom the ends of the world come," and people don't understand it unless they're in God. Peter had got a revelation. Having been communicating with Paul, he realized as to a revelation that now the kingdom had come. At Calvary, the kingdom had come, and a new world was here as to the church ages. Like they call America the New World. And he knew the old world of the Jews as to the veil had passed away. And then 2,000 years. See, and from the flood 2,000 years as to the world ending. And then another world started of another 2,000 years. And the Bible said worlds without end as the plural. See, and that at this ending that everything would be on fire and utterly vanish and burn, which would take a lot of hours to expound what he was saying. See, to give it in detail. And now here we are on the last year, far over into the year already. On the last year, here we are, in that if this 2,000 years fits the cycle of the calendar the way the others have, and we say, "Well, it might not do that, Brother Pike. It could be another 100 years before Jesus comes. Might be 1,000 years." But there's one thing about it. The Bible said he worked 6 days. On the seventh, he rested. And the day with God is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. And obviously it must be like that because the millennium is given as 1,000 years. For the word millennium as to human application means 1,000 years. But the Bible gives it as 1,000 years. And it is referred to as on the seventh day he rested. He rested from all of his work. And here we are moving toward the end of the 6,000 years. So then if this is the last year in the sense that tribulation is to be 7 years, then the beginning of next year, if it followed the calendar, the tribulation would set in. See, and this would be the last year. And you'd be getting the understanding from the revelation. And this part as to whatever we're preaching here, to some extent as to the publication of the gospel and the growth of the little ones around the world, you know, the children will go out when the parents go out. Not very many will find it. Few there be that find it, as to the translation. Now, I'm saying that if this is the last year, calendar-wise, there's only 7 years left for the tribulation. See, and we predicted the world would come up right. And now scientists has made a prediction at the end of the 2,000 years, another great calamity, that the world will come upright. We spoke of it going under, and we told why it went under, what caused it to go under, how it would be and how long, and when it would come back up. Now, if it does, we know that there is a millennium earth coming in because it's going to tear down everything. John said, "I saw the buildings fall. They were just torn to pieces. They crumbled to the ground. All around the world, the stars fell from heaven." Everything would be out of kilter. See, supposing that it is the last of the 2,000 years, 7 years must be crowded into that last 2,000 years right at the end. Now, if that be true, I said it would be 7 years of bad government. Look at Clinton. Look what has happened. When we predicted Bush would come in, it would be the legend of the overthrowing of the dragon of communism, and he did it. And then we said, this other man coming in, he is going to mess up America and going to mess up the world, and he's done it. And the little publication of a shrinking president, down, 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 smaller now as they give the picture of the story than any that we've ever had. Calling Mr. Bush a clown, as I said, calling him bozo, it insulted God because God knew that Bush was a God-man to the extent of what he knew. And God had raised him up, and we said God would bring him in, and he did. You know, and then we understood the other one was coming in and Mr. Bush would go out. And in calling Mr. Bush a clown, which should have made you know that he wasn't in no condition for a president, that he didn't have any understanding to insult the office that he was pulling for or trying to get to. God turned around and, like Mr. Bush said, and made him the bozo. And now everybody's mocking him as the clown. See, because God didn't like that, in what you sow, you reap. Now, it's a little bit off trail there, but I just want to drop that because this goes in with what we're saying about the 6,000 years. If the president now is in that kind of condition, then there is no government. The government is gone. Someone would say, well, how can that be, Brother Pye? Because government is of God. Like Washington, our forefather, when he established the United States, found himself praying and gave orders for nobody to come into his room when he was there in the snow and he couldn't get the people across the waters there as to around the Delaware. And he couldn't get the job done. And he went to God and prayed. And God let him see the little spider. You know, as the one time and two times and then the third time. And showed him what to do. And he went and prayed. He shut the door and said, no one come into my office. Locked it. And then while he was meditating and praying, asking God for help because his men were hungry and out in the cold, all of a sudden, a woman stood there before him. This is history. Standing before him, he turned and said, what are you doing in here? And he started to say something else. Said, I gave orders for no one to come in here. And said, well, and about that time, it gives it that he just froze. He couldn't speak. He couldn't do anything. Then he realized the supernatural power was present like Daniel said, and I was sick for many days after. My Lord, I retained no strength until the angel touched him. See, and the woman said, son of the republic, look and learn. And he did. See, it's even as the great Indian chief that came to him after the war. He said, your God, your God. Because said, you were shot at many times by my braves, and my braves don't miss. And said, you're still alive. And said, now I've seen a vision of you, and you are a great king, and you are to have a great empire. And told all about America before it ever really came to pass. See, what am I saying? I'm speaking of a spiritual thing, a spiritual era, that this nation was established as a government by God. So was Abraham, a man of sorrow, saying that if I could share my sorrow with people, everybody in the world would have some of it. See, the great mighty Abraham in my at the revelation concerned in the present day truth as to those things where the Spirit of God so beautifully just turns page after page, unfails everything. The water world, the spirit world, the blood world just unveils it until it's fantastic. Hundreds and tens of thousands of things that he shared with me. Now, so then there is no more government. The woman says, I don't want to be a first lady. Why? She knew she wasn't a lady. And she didn't want to be a lady. She liked the ways of the world and the things of the world. Always America has been known as the first lady. And God calls his church the elect lady. What does that mean to you and I? It means the church ages have come to an end. The new world that they called it as when Washington and them brought in a government. And that of God taking the people away from the old country. Now look at it. Look at the IRS riding the backs of people, putting them under bondage, taking every dime they got. It don't make no difference where it's preachers or whatever it is. See, and where's all the money going? It ain't paying the national indebtedness. Where is it going? They're getting plenty of it, enslaving everybody, blaming everybody. You could pay your taxes. Somebody said, well, you don't pay your taxes. I know one thing. I paid my taxes with a regularity. And I teach you're supposed to. Jesus said, there's any way, pay them. Don't offend the people. He paid them. See, and I paid them with a regularity. But did that stop them? Oh, no. They still wanted to go back 6 or 7 years, though I had the proof, though they knew it and acknowledged it. See, and the idea is not to find out whether you pay taxes or don't pay taxes. The idea is to enslave everybody like they did down in Egypt, to get you under the control of the financial system so they can bleed you to death. And after a while, you're so financially depressed, I'm going to say, man, just take the income, take everything. Just give me some kind of job and let me work over here just enough to make a living and take care of my family. And that's what it's all for, is communism. And to make everybody take that mark. To get everybody in position that they'll have to take that mark. They can't buy nor sell. That's why I made the statement. I said it was shipped over to Germany. I don't have time to go through these things tonight. Some of you already know them. But that's why I said it was shipped to Japan as to the great monetary value and division I saw where they came and looked down on Atlanta and then shook their heads when they wanted to invest and they saw how horrible the situation was in Atlanta and the Olympics and all these kind of things. They shook their head and they turned. And when I said it will go to Japan and Japan will flourish and then their economy will fall. And after Mr. Bush went over, that had to do with it and many things we'd say about that. See, and from that it was shift to Germany and come under the auspices of Germany. And with that, the common market would come up and the United States of Europe would move in a confederation. People like Mr. Clinton is going to cause them to do it. They're going to decide as one little nation that we're going to be picked off like berries if we don't unite together. And they're going to unite together for safety and strength and bring in those 10 horns that the beast has, it's spoken of in the book of Revelation. And if we could detail it, bring it out step by step, we can see it real clear. See, and with that, it's right at hand. And Mr. Clinton has to do with the end of the government, and the government went in a different direction. And Mr. Clinton had to do with the devil and the casting out of the devil. And Mr. Bush had to do with the catching up and the lady going away in the wilderness. And that's present day truth. My, I wish we had time to detail it in such a multiple form that you couldn't deny it to save your life. Because it's filled with excitement and adventure in the mind of Christ. See, and in that it does have to do with that, then that means that the government is gone. Why is it gone? Because the people is the government, we say. Of the people, for the people, and by the people. But can the people do anything? No. The badge and the gun. Same thing of the Hitler regime. But here's what I'm saying. When God gave the people a chance through Mr. Bush, like we said in the casting out of the dragon, and many things it would say there would stir you if you've never heard it or don't know about it. See, when the Lord did that, He knew that people had already had their chance, that Mr. Bush was very religious, praying, trying to do what he could to get the people back, even as Mr. Reagan. See, He knew that, and they'd had their chance. And I said, pray that you'll stay in office as long as God would let him, because when he's gone, that's it. Now, look what's happening. Look what's happening now, you people that have reason. What is it? God knew that the rest of them wasn't going to listen. The ones that was going to do right, they done right or was trying to do right. And when God saw that, He removed Mr. Bush, and all of a sudden He raised this man up that's without understanding altogether. And took his understanding away like the ostrich that the Bible speaks of. For him to wreck, for him to ruin, loosening the bands of wickedness, opening the doors of hell, letting the demons out, the hippies, the long hair. Remember, devils live in people. And with this, in doing these things, he even tore Billy Graham up about it because Billy saw that he wasn't going to be the right kind of fella. Now, I'm just saying this. I'm going to close here in just a few minutes. In this condition, as to the world, he turned them over to reprobate minds, sent them strong delusions, let them believe a lie to be damned, because he knew that they did not care. They did not care the stripping off of their clothes. They did not care frolicking up and down the beaches. They wanted everything in the church from a pool table to I don't know what. They wanted the people in the upper echelon so that they could have money and they could have pride and prestige, and they'd compromise in any way to get it. They didn't care about God or the spiritual things or nothing else, and still don't. And so God just checked them out. And look at the world. All of them people that become sodomites. I predicted a long time ago that they would all go sodomites except them that God had sealed them. And that is the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever, that He would burn it. And He's on the verge of doing it. A sinful, adulterous generation. See, and here we are, the 4th of July, at time for the fireworks, the independence. If tonight, if we took about 3 hours just to expound where the government went to, what it had to do with, and even what Bethlehem has to do with, and why the devil has tried so hard to stamp it out, and people say things against it and find fault, you'd be shocked to the core of your soul unless you've been down that trail. See, but it survived. This great ship keeps on going, and this great caravan keeps on rolling along. See, you can hinder it, but you can't put it out when it's of God. You can't put it out. This flame is spread all over the world. And as I said just before, see, to somebody today, just before I come to church, one place just wrote saying 3,000 people gathered around a brush harbor. 3,000 people because of some of the literature they got. And they were stirred so that healings was taken everywhere just with reading the literature. And out of another country come a letter, and another country, and another country, and another country. Letters poured in. I mean, these in one day. And then around all of the islands, just about every island, over around Tobago, Trinidad, all those islands, there's hardly a one but what we ain't reached it. And letters pour in, and they plead with us to come to the area. India, Africa, all the different places around the different places they ask for us to come, even into Russia. Now, what am I saying? The new world is about gone. America. The president, the government's gone. Why is there no more government? Because those people become sodomites, even though some good people got mixed up and they're sorry. I said they would be. And many others knew that, and they are. But the thing is, the others have turned into sodomites, and if the government is for the people, by the people, and of the people, then that means it's sodomy, and it's Sodom and Gomorrah. And God has nothing to do with iniquity, and God don't look at iniquity, and God is the only government there is in the world, and God withdrew, and that means there ain't no government in America. That government had to go somewhere because God has never at any time let the world be without a government. The people would panic, and it had to go somewhere. And you know and I know where it went to and what it's going to come to. And I said it would pull in through the mark that they've chosen to be the stable money before they ever come up with that, and that it would go to the common market, as the Bible speaks of that in the book of Revelation, and that her desolation would come in 1 hour as to the whore and all of her dames. See, and everything is moving in there right now. My, at the other things it connects, just flows into it and links to the tree as the branches. I'm only saying these few fragmental things just to kind of stir your mind, because I wouldn't do this in a camp meeting. I'd rather move along and holler at you and scream at you and preach and then pray for the sick, like coming out of Mexico. We hardly touched anything like this, but we prayed for the sick and we preached a little sermonette. Because they're just babes, a lot of them. And even in America, the Bible said when you ought to be teachers, you have need that you be taught, which is still as children. Exercise yourself in the Lord. Exercise your senses. Get the meat. It belongs to the strong. So then in this thing that we're saying, to close out, because we can't nearly cover these things, only just a little bit, enough to stir you up and make you search. See, you think, well, Brother Pike must be crazy. He must be out of his mind. He's making believe. And so you'll go search me out. And you'll go search the scriptures out. And then I'll be glad, because you'll come out shouting if you're one of the elect. And you'll praise God. And you'll say, my God, this is real. Oh, my God, this is real. And your heart will be thrilled beyond the wildest imagination. So then it's so wonderful. You know, the Lord is doing great things. The law has been fulfilled. The law has been folded up and laid away. And now we are under grace. And we are saved. And we've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The law and the prophets till John, since that time the kingdom is here. And we've been translated into the kingdom of God. And not only that, this is shocking, I know, to some of you. Some of you it's not. But you are born of God. You would say amen. See, but the Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin. He cannot sin. Someone would say, well, that's what I believe, Brother Pye. I believe I can do what I want to. I believe I can do what I want to in the flesh, but I can't sin. That's because you've been turned over to reprobate mind. You've been deceived by the devil. And Satan has got your body. He went out in the dispute as over Moses' body. In yours he went out with Moses. He did not, because Moses was faithful in all of his house. You're supposed to have the Spirit, and that as unto holiness, since God is holiness, and the Spirit of holiness, and having your fruits unto holiness as to your everyday living, and the end thereof eternal life. And without holiness you don't have God, because he is the Spirit of holiness. And though he's above you, he's in you, and he's through you, yet you don't have him as the gift of eternal life. As to his Spirit, if you have not his Spirit, you're none of his. So we are not under the law. Neither can we die. And we're living in the age. It's coming up fast now. We're living in the age now to where the translation is about to complete its course, to take place. And that means that if it does, it has to be a faith to please God as Enoch. It has to be of faith, translated that he should not see death. And ye should not be put in a casket. Ye should not be put in a coffin, because it's not necessary for you to die. Them under the law could not be made perfect without us, and had to wait for the time of the promise that Jesus might go down and release them there in the bosom of Abraham, or in what's called paradise, resting in the faith of Abraham, which was the paradise. That when Christ went down, he took the faith, turn my people from darkness unto light, to the faith which is by me, Paul, that by which they're sanctified, having been sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and perfected forever, or made perfect. God has made you perfect forever. You without spot, you without blemish. Someone would say, well, where do you get that? Aren't you the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? What kind of spots did that lamb have? Did you know that the lamb that was offered up in that day had to be put out like in front of the people, and people had to go by and inspect that lamb to make sure that it didn't have a blemish? And they did Jesus that way. They pulled him through their little test, but they couldn't find any fault. He was without fault. See, and aren't you the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular? Where then is the spot? Who can lay anything to your charge? You're God's elect by foreknowledge, and no one can lay anything to your charge. You cannot transgress the law, because there's no law to transgress. And if you can't transgress the law, in that the dead man can't transgress the law, then there is no sin. Because transgression of the law is sin. And where there's no law, you can't transgress it. And it's fulfilled, folded up, laid away. Jesus did it for you. And his Spirit has come back in you. The same Spirit that fulfilled it and is accredited unto you. And so you're complete in the Lord Jesus. To believe in him as to your salvation. The simplicity of the gospel. To repent of your sins, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, buried with him in baptism, raised together with him in the newness of life, a new creature, old things having passed away, and you are in a new world. So then today, you don't have any spots. You are perfect forever. You're sealed on the inside with the Holy Spirit, and the Bible teaches darkness cannot get near light. It eradicates it. And you have all power over death as to the enemy, the last to be conquered by the world. And you have all power over Satan, all powers over the enemy. For Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, whether it be sickness. And he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He destroyed him. He said, I destroyed him that hath power over death. To you he hath no power whatsoever. One way or another he doesn't have any power. You're his master. You are Christ in the earth. You're the very body and bone of the Lord Jesus. You are the great one of God as to the members of the body, that child that's been caught up. The government is on your shoulders, and you're to rule with the rod of iron, which is the word of God. thy rod, thy staff comfort me. The staff, the Holy Ghost, the comforter. See, the rod. Shall I come to you with a rod, Paul said? Or in the spirit of meekness? That is this great rod of the world, word of the mind of Christ Jesus. So you're free from the law of sin and death. If you cannot sin because there's no law, then that means you cannot die. For where there's a law, there's a transgression. And where there's a transgression, that is sin. And where there's sin, there's a sting unto death. And where there is a sting unto death, men die. But if there is no law that is folded up, satisfied, as to the folding up, God gives you eternal life, perfects you forever. So that means that everything is gone that's wrong. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. I say, is there such a person in the world? God will not impute sin unto the saints. They can't sin. The seed of God, Christ, remains in them. And they can't sin because the sin, they've got to transgress the law. And there is no law for them to transgress. And if there's no law for them to transgress, then there is no sin. And if there's no sin, then there's no death. For there has to be a sting of sin to bring death. And if there's no transgression of the law, then there's no sin. And if there's no sin, then there is no sting. And if there's no sting, then death, where is thy sting? And if there's no sting as to death, grave, where is thy victory? See, and here we are free. See, the devil argues all the time, the dispute over the body. But that's the mind, the thoughts. Paul said their thoughts bend the means while accusing or else excusing one another, reproving the Jews, saying that the Gentiles as to the church keeps this within their heart as to the Christ Spirit. See, and the argument is the mind. And all day long you're harassed in your mind. You're pressured in your mind, trying to trample down the mind of humanity. That's Satan. All day long, your sonship is questioned, like in the wilderness when Satan came to Jesus. And all day long, it's arguing with you, it's fussing with you. And something on the inside said, Lord, I don't want to be like that. I have a will in here to do good. But I see at this time that it would do good, that there is present an evil as to this old unredeemed body. But Paul said, I'm not going to worry about it. That's not me. If I do that, I would not. As to this thing arguing with me and charging me with transgression of the law, when I, by revelation, know the law is folded up and laid away, and that I cannot sin, he said, that's not me that's doing it. That's sin within my body. That's that other mind using my brain. Three minds as to the spirit, your spirit, that uses your brain, Satan's spirit, that works through your spirit if you can get control to use your brain, or God to whom it belongs as to the body working through your brain. And you have to discern as between what is and what is not. The meat belongs to the strong. They who through reason have made the decision as to the right. So this thing argues with you, and you've got to realize it's dead, and you've got to realize it's gone, and that it's just there to aggravate you to protect his kingdom as to Lucifer. See, but it's gone, it's dead, it doesn't have anything to do with you. It wants to bring condemnation. It wants to take your joy. It wants to take your inspiration. See, and it wants to lie to you or deceive you, throw you off trail or whatever. But that thing is gone, it's dead, it has nothing to do with it. You are a new creature, a new body, a celestial body in Christ. See, and you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You are resurrected with him and alive forever. And the old body is now dead. So listen to the mind of the Word. Cast down imagination. Everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity to the obedience of Christ Jesus every word, every thought. Because you are a new body. And you have a new mind. And you have a new world. And you are eternal. And you are God's. And you cannot die. And you own all things. And you're over all things. I want you to stand with me. Now, I'm not hollering at you much tonight. Been ministering quite a bit today too for hours. And just coming back off of crusades. That's some of it out of Mexico. And I haven't hollered at you much. But I want you to know who you are. I want you to know what you are. Because it's time that the church knows that they're not trying to get perfect. Somebody says, go on to perfection. That's right. That's Bible. But what is perfection? Go on to understand the Word of God and by faith, purifying your heart and coming to that of God to make this heavenly treasure that's in your mortal genes of the natural man, make it manifest in your that's in your inside of your natural man, that is in the spirit. Make it manifest in your human body. See, to change this body as the creature into the glorious liberties of, as Peter said, I'm already the Son of God. For it will be changed and delivered from the bondage of this world as to that with the beast, because it's but a creature. And bring it into the marvelous liberties of that inner Son of God. Paul said, that is there to will. Because that's you, the inner Son of God, as the Lord from heaven. And that old beast thing that failed to pray as to Adam, don't mess with it. Don't listen at it. Don't let it discourage you. Because if you can believe in your heart and not mess with those thoughts, not be of a doubtful mind, but be locked into that mind of Christ, you can say what you want to, it'll be done. You can ask what you will, it'll be done. Whatever it is, because you are God's. The government is on your shoulder. And you all are supposed to be one mind, as on Pentecost, with one body as to members, that we might rule heaven and earth. So the Father and the Son. So we sing that little chorus. And it's time that you stood up. And the time that you looked at the devil when he comes to you with this discrepancy and saying, Satan, the safeguard is in the garment. And you might run over me here and there, but you'll never stain that man that's sealed with the great holy light of God and the Spirit of God. And I've got power over you, and his name is Christ Jesus. He's on the inside of me. He defeated you and everything, and he's my power. Somebody says, but I'm just a babe. That don't make no difference. He's still got Daddy's Spirit. He's still got Daddy's blood. And he's a big, big man through Daddy. You just mess with him and let Daddy get near. It's like an old hen or like a rooster. You get near that, it belongs to them, and they'll let you know that's their property. You just mess with the children of God, and especially Jesus' lambs, and the Holy Ghost will let you know that that's his property. If he has to hang you up by your heels, he'll do what's necessary. And you just tell the devil, you say, look, I ain't nothing. I'm less than nothing. But let me let you know that I am made perfect forever, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. I am that perfected church. And I want you to know that any time I may just step out of here and just go over to what you call the other side. Because, folks, you can't step out of here and go to heaven. You stepped out through Calvary. You stepped out through the foreknowledge of God that was made manifest at Calvary. Given to us before the world ever was, brought to light at the rent veil of Calvary. Preached that we might comprehend it down through the church ages. And here we are, and the door is open in heaven. The revelation has come. Oh, how I wish we had time to preach to you. We've exhorted you just a tad tonight, but I wish we had time to preach to you. And that's the truth, so help me God. I'm going to tell you one more time. I've said this many times, because Bethlehem has to do with a special thing. You are already perfect forever. Somebody says, Brother Pike, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's true. And people years ago, they didn't understand. They did the best they could. Saved how? Before the foundation of the world. Paul said, greet my women workers whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life while they were yet living. Saved before the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And you're saved and hid in Christ with God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoration as to the millennium, the restoring of all things. I will restore that to the cankerworm God. See, and so you are sealed forever. You are already in heaven. You are already in heaven. Somebody says, I'm a son of God. Peter said, that's right. Though your tabernacle might be dissolved. As to that tabernacle within the intellectual wilderness of your wandering. See, but, and you've got a temple. That second man, Adam, the quickening spirit. That mansion that he spoke of. The members of his body. And you got a place in heaven. But you're already in heaven. You've already been born again. God has already taken away all iniquity. Messiah shall come, Daniel said, and make an end of iniquity. What was that? In iniquity did my mother conceive me, and he done away with that image of iniquity. He done away with it. See, and what will he do? He'll bring in everlasting righteousness. He didn't bring in just a revival, repent, go back into the world. But he brought in everlasting righteousness. This whereby you are perfected forever, sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ And you are translated into the marvelous kingdom of God and also glorified, elect by foreknowledge and beloved. The Bible says you've already been glorified. What is there then to wait for? One thing, there's a time element involved. It has to do with the Jews, and that needs to be explained to the church. But there's a transformation as to your schooling and your diplomacy, as they that have to come to show power over death, so that you will recognize who you are and what you are, that you won't be put in a casket. The time is at hand. The message is here, the understanding. And as long as the church preaches this thing of backsliding and coming to God and backsliding, you won't never get no faith to get out of it. Never. You've got to do all things always to please God, and without faith it's impossible to please Him, because you believe unto righteousness as to the finished work perfected in Jesus Christ. And you're going to have a staunch faith to where nothing can move that faith. And the only way you're going to do that is to know that you're perfected forever, once and for all. See, and so then we've got to come to the light to speak the same thing. When I bring Zion again, they speak the same thing. See eye to eye. They won't break ranks. They won't go here and there trying to establish something on their own to prove themselves to be some kind of prophet or some kind of apostle. You remind me of little old babies. What are you trying to do getting your ministry? What we need to do is realize we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the ministry, His ministry. And what we want to do is to be His members. We don't want to incorporate Him in our faulty, indecisive manner into our ways. We want to be incorporated into Him and let Him control us, not try to work Him into our plan. See, to yield to Him, to submit to Him. That's where the thing is. And we're going to have the real faith of Jesus Christ, the unwavering, unwavering faith. See, and when we get to that place, church will be gone, as you say. If I'm going to be healed and I'm sick, you know how I'm healed? Calling those things that are not as though they are. For me to do that, I'd say, well, I'd never do that. I'm not going to lie. Somebody comes before you and you're preaching and you say, God heals you. And somebody says, well, I don't know about that. Well, according to your faith, Jesus said, what do you believe about it? I said, well, somebody said, well, I don't know. He said, I don't think I'm healed. I feel the same as I did. And somebody says, I'm not going to confess that. I'm not going to lie. It's when you don't confess it that you lie, and that you are bound by the intellectual wilderness of your deception. It is when you do confess the truth, and it is a truth, that that's a lie and vanity. All is vanity. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil without respect to person. And He's taken away your sins and He's took away your sickness. And when you acknowledge it the other way around, you're acknowledging a lie. Because Jesus said in the beginning it was not so. And all of that is to perversion of Satan. You are acknowledging a lie, and Satan keeps you in bondage by the acknowledgement of your believing. But if you confess the truth, I'm here for the truth. What is truth, Pilate said? We're set for the defense of the truth. The other is perversion. All of that is vanity and a pass away. But beloved friend, when you realize I'm the God that forgiveth all of your iniquity, healeth all of your diseases, because I took it all away. I took it all away at Calvary, even the foreknowledge of the world. See, I took it away. You're not under bondage. Let all the earth rejoice, for Jesus reigneth. That is, let everybody rejoice. Let them be free from their afflictions. Let them be free from their poverty. Let them be free from all of their problems. Somebody says, well, I still get sick. The Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivered them out of them all. See, and you get weary, you fight the battle. In the battle, you get wounds. Sometimes you're on the front line. But that don't mean nothing. See, the thing is, this is the victory that overcometh the world, that makes you more than a conqueror. And that is your believing in the Word of God. The shield that quenches all the fire darts of the wicked. All right, let's sing together. Forgive me, I took longer tonight, beloved, than I would have taken. I took a lot longer. I would have just come in here and exhorted you a few minutes and got out. And I hope this don't bother you, because I'm drinking water and you can't get in. You get to thinking about hell and people in hell, and you get more thirsty. You love the Lord. We're just out here to have a good time in the Lord and discover what our Father has willed to us through His Son. And to realize that we are God's. You know what God is? One that lives forever. That's perfect. He doesn't make any mistakes. He can't die. See, and we're just discovering all this thing. We're just going by the transformation of the mind where we can come to the place that suddenly we grasp or with the redemption of our body. Because see, the redemption of the body's already been. It's the purchased possession. And He's already done that. And the Bible said, take the oversight over the church, over which God has made you overseers, even the church of God that He has purchased with His blood. And you are the purchased possession. It was purchased at Calvary. And already you're translated as the spiritual being into the kingdom of God, the world of the spirit. And the body can't touch you, and Satan can't touch you. That beast is dead by Calvary. And Satan can't get to that beast to Eve anymore. So then, Christ is watching over us, our husband. He's watching over us. We're the bride. See, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, moving toward the prize of the high calling, which means to be perfect. So, that means the change is at hand. The government shows it, the calendars show it, everything else. Any time it could come to pass. And you've got to know that you're perfect. That's the only faith that will take you out of here. If you're still struggling with your do's and don'ts, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. And if you are a baby and you haven't come to the revelation and that you can't comprehend this thing as to the fullness of it, don't be alarmed. You're a child, but you're still in school. And you still belong to the family. And when the family goes out, irregardless as to what age, I say this because a lot of people ask me these things. See, it doesn't matter if you're 3 years old, 5 years, your measures, whatever. When the mother or daddy goes out as to the church, when these things go out of here, you don't have to worry. If you're the babe in the arm, you've been born again, you'll go out with them. All of them will go out together because it's not as to what you learn, it's not as to what you are, who you are. It is to what God is in your life and you belong to Him. And as to who you are, the only thing that matters is that you're His child. See, that's all. But there is one thing you do have to remember as to whatever your measure is, as to the understanding when you go out, that's what you'll be eternally. That's what you'll be forever. See, and you got to get in and get this if you're intending, as in the world, so in the earth. There's billionaires, there's millionaires, there's people that's just got thousands, there's people that don't have as much. But there's one thing about it, they that entered into the vineyard did get a penny. As to eternal life, those that went in late got just as much as those that went in early. Some will be kings, some will rule and reign. The disciples said, and then what shall we have? We've left wife, we've left everything. He said, leave houses, land, whatever, you get a hundredfold. He said to them, because you have stayed with the Son of Man through the regeneration, I'm going to make you sit upon a throne. And when I sit upon my throne, you're going to sit on 12 thrones beside me, and the 12 apostles will be there, both naturally and spiritually. They'll sit upon the throne to tie the celestial and the restored together. See, and with everybody that has worked for God, they'll be rewarded according to their labor. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Let's sing this chorus over that we sang when I first came in. He was wounded for my transgressions. Can you sing that with me? He was bruised for my iniquity. Surely He has borne all my sorrows forever, and by His stripes we are healed. He was wounded for your transgressions. Can you sing that with me? And He was bruised for your iniquity. Surely He has borne all our sorrows forever, and by His stripes we are healed. There is peace in the time of your trouble. Sing that with me. In the time of the storm, there is peace when the world is raging. It's in the shelter of His arms. We sing this little chorus, Room at the Cross for You. There's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. While we sing these little choruses, the altar is open. And if you'd like to come, we'd like for you to step out. If you're interested in eternal life tonight, or the spirit of revelation, the Bible said, and the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him and make him of a quick understanding. See, and if you're interested in these things tonight, the altars are open. The Bible said concerning the minister, whosoever he blesses shall be blessed. Whosoever he curses shall be cursed. Whatever we bind on earth as a people is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And as I say so often, the minister, he is the minister of God to you for good. But be afraid if you do wrong, because he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is God's minister to execute judgment upon them that do evil. See, and he is God's revenger, and he doesn't spare the sword. But he loves you. He's not here to curse you. He's here to bless you. He loves you because you are God's children. You are eternal. You are God's children. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. And you are eternal. You can never grow old. You can never grow old. You can never die. You are alive forever. You are youthful forever. You are rich forever. You are a great, mighty ruler of heaven and earth, neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. And you are mighty eternally forever. But if you're not God's child, you're going to wither up like a flower and you're going to die. And you're going to be in poverty and all these things because you do not know, you do not understand, therefore you cannot believe. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word, and he that God sendeth will speak God's word. This is the word of spirit and of life. You say, but Brother Pike, don't you understand? I've cast out devils. I've prophesied. I've done many mighty works in his name. He said they'll say that day. And what will you say? 70 of them? And the 70 of them went with him. And the 70 came back and said, the devils are subject unto us in your name. He said, don't rejoice over that. But the thing is, whether or not your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, this is what to rejoice over. And the 70 left him. How was it that the devils were subject to them? They didn't have the Holy Ghost. They wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. How was the devil subject unto them? See, because the blood was on the seat of atonement from the foundation of the world to allow so that the elect could come in. Let's worship God. Come on, folks. Let's worship God. You're God's children tonight. Share that faith tonight. It'll quench all the fire darts of the wicked. You'll move like a mighty army through the land, and the devil won't be able to touch you. Lift that faith up in the righteousness of the Son of God tonight. You're God's children tonight. You're God's children. You're the apple of God's eye tonight. You belong to God. You have all power over the devil. All power over the devil. Use your faith tonight. With praise. Tis the time that the Lord has made. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it with me now. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord's made me glad. My Lord, has He made you glad? Serving God is joy, peace, righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Have you got the Holy Ghost tonight? Somebody say hallelujah. God inhabits the praise of His people. Would you like to praise God? There was no room in the inn for Him. But tonight there's room here. There's room here. On these grounds tonight, there's room here. Hallelujah. Give Him room tonight. He's knocking at your heart's door. Give Him room tonight. There's room for Him at Bethlehem. There's room in the heart of the Christian. And all over the world it goes with the praises of God. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on, folks, let's worship God. Hallelujah. We're bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. I will come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. While they're singing. You want to be prayed for. While they're singing. You'll press in up here a little closer. They'll pray for you. Do you believe tonight? Do you believe you can be healthy tonight? Do you believe you can be healed tonight? Do you believe God will help you tonight? Do you believe God will give you strength tonight? Hallelujah! 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 The angel said to Gideon, mighty man of valor, said God is with you. And Gideon said, if God is with us, where is the miracles? Folks, there'll be miracles if we praise God tonight and we invite God into our midst, and faith goes up where there's faith. There's healing, there's deliverance, there's promises, there's revelation, there's knowledge and understanding of the great spiritual world. Lift up your hand tonight and let's praise the Lord. If you want to be prayed for, get up a little bit closer. Can you do that? Oh, we're bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. I'll come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. We are bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep.
We shall come rejoicing.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I feel faith tonight. I believe that you feel faith tonight. Do you feel faith tonight? Lift up those hands. Lift up those hands. Come on, you're God's children tonight. Don't be backward. Don't draw back. My soul shall have no pleasure in them that draw back. The Bible said, come boldly before the throne of grace. Hallelujah, that you might receive help in the time of your need. God wants to give you His best tonight. He gave you Christ Jesus, the best that heaven can afford. Will God hold back anything from you? Lift those hands up and praise God. Get God's best tonight. Press in, claim His best tonight. To be bold as the lion, to come before the throne of grace with boldness in the righteousness of the Son of God. Believe, folks. Believe if thou canst believe. All things are possible to them to believe. We're bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. Can you praise the Lord?
Bringing in the sheep.
Can you minister bless and pray for me? Can we come out?
Bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheep.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And those beasts cried, holy, holy, holy. Day and night they cried, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, holy, holy, holy. And God gave them the strength day and night to cry, holy, holy, holy. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Let's praise God tonight. Lift those hands up tonight. Lift those hands up tonight. Lift those hands up tonight. Hallelujah.